Today's shir is Masechta Bava Daf Samach Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Vrei Meresh. Yesterday we discussed, and today we will continue Be'ezer Hashem, the concept of Shinui. Shinui Hashem, Shinui Maisa, different situations where there's a transition, there's a change, and does that create a kinyan? Ask the Gemara. Vrei Meresh. If somebody stole a beam from someone else, Dikla Shinu Hashem. So when you take a beam and you build it into the house, it's certainly not just a beam anymore. It's part of the ceiling. The Mikarak Shura, the beginning is just a piece of wood. Vahashta Talala, and now it's part of the ceiling. With Tanan, there's a Mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta, Al Mareish Hagozel Shabana Babira, that somebody stole a beam and he built it into his house. The Mishnah is saying that by right, if somebody stole a beam from someone else, he should have to return the beam. Chazal made a special rule of Neita Konas Ashovim that should be that people should do tshuva if they're going to have to demolish their house to give back the beam. They're going to be reluctant to do tshuva that they could give back the value of the beam. Tama. So what do we see that the Mishnah is teaching us? There's a special rule Chazal instituted to make it easy to do tshuva. Halav hachi. If not for this special rule, hada be'enei. The halacha would be that you have to give back the beam. But why? If we're learning that when there's a shinui, then when there's a shinui Hashem, it becomes the ganavs, and he only has to return the value. He doesn't have to turn the actual item that was stolen. Why do we need a special takonas chazal of takonas hashavim? Rabbi Yosef. So responds Rabbi Yosef, there really was no shinui. Mereish shmolov. A beam remains a beam. The Tanya, tzlos habayis. The pasuk speaks about the description of a house. Tzlos habayis, eila melatatin. Melatatin means the casings, the frames in which the windows and the doors were put. Ha'ovim eila mereshes. The beams remain, a beam that's put on a ceiling is the same. So there was no shinui. In other words, the Gemara is saying, a shinui would taka make it the ganavs. And he would only have to give back the value, not the actual item. Here is a special rule that Chazal gave us because of takonas hashavim. Rav Zeira gives a different explanation. Shina chayz l'priyosoi b'shinei Hashem lo yavishinui b'shinei Hashem she'ena chayz l'priyosoi yavishinui, which means as follows. If it's a reversible change, that's considered a shinui. If it's irreversible, if it's reversible, it's not a shinui. So if somebody just takes a beam and he puts it into the ceiling, the beam is still a beam. So it's a reversible change. Therefore, it's not a shinui. Therefore, we need a special gzeres chazal of takonas hashavim. But when the change is irreversible, do not need the takonas hashavim. So we speak about the takonas hashavim, the special rule that Chazal instituted, that in order to get people to do tshuva, you don't have to give back the beam, you can just give back the value. Tosfos and Rishonim say that we only use this concept of takonas hashavim on something movable. We don't use it on property. That means if someone's going to go and build a house on someone else's property and then say takonas hashavim, if you're going to make me give back the property, I'm going to have to demolish this house, or I'm going to have to sell the house, something I don't want to do, and therefore I should be able to keep the property. There we don't say takonas hashavim. Furthermore, I saw some interesting, the Rishonim say, takonas hashavim is a very strong takonas chazal, meaning two interesting dinim regarding hilchas sukkah. On one hand, the Rishonim say, that let's say somebody would go and take a beam that belongs to someone else and build his sukkah with that beam, it would be a kosher sukkah. Even though maybe you could argue it's a mitzvah above Avera, the halach is that it's a kosher sukkah. But on the other hand, following up what we just said, important rule, Let's say somebody's going to go and build a sukkah on property that he doesn't own, or not only property he doesn't own, but he builds it on public property, which is not his own property. By property, we said there's no din of takanas hashavim, and there the halacha would be that it would not be a kosher sukkah, and it would not be mekayim the mitzvah. Rav Vosner has an interesting tshuva. He addresses about tshuva. And this about tshuva was Mechal Shabbos their entire life until they did tshuva. And they bought clothing on Shabbos. And they might have sold clothing on Shabbos. And we know that the halach is that if you do malach on Shabbos, certainly if you do it b'mezid, you're not allowed to have hanor from that malacha. So the question that this about tshuva asked Rav Vosner is that could they continue wearing the clothing that they bought or sold as they were Bali Tshuva. Says Rav Vosner, based on our Gemara, Takonas HaShavim, Chazal were anxious to make it easy for people to do Tshuva, and this is certainly included in Takonas HaShavim, and they could continue wearing those clothing. Another interesting Shaila that I saw, that was asked to Rav Zilberstein, is as follows. There was a person in Shul who earned money not in the most legal manner, or he gambled and he earned a lot of money, or in other such ways. And now he wants to give a Sefer Torah to the shul. And the Gabbam are reluctant to accept the Sefer Torah for such an individual that the money was earned in such a manner. Says Rav Zilberstein, our Gemara is teaching us, Takanas HaShavim, if there's nothing halachically wrong, I mean there may be something wrong with what he did, but the money certainly had shinui, etc., we could accept the Sefer Torah and use it. The Gemara made a difference, drew a distinction between a reversible change and irreversible change. How do we understand the difference? So the way most Rishonim explain the difference is fairly simple. A irreversible change is considered a significant change. A reversible change is not considered that significant. Chazon Ish has a very interesting perspective. He says, a pasuk that we've learned, we're going to discuss, we're going to quote that pasuk again today. The pasuk says, the heshiv es agzeila shagozel. The Torah gives the ganav an obligation to return what he stole. Says the Chazon Ish, what the Gemara means, that as long as the item underwent a change that's reversible, the person could still fulfill the obligation of a heshiv es agzeila. He could give back exactly what he stole. And therefore, he has to do that. But if the change that was made to the object is irreversible, so he no longer can anyway give back that hagzela, that actual object. That object is no longer here, and that's why Chazal said it's enough to give back the value, not the actual object. Ask the Gemara. But before we begin the Gemara, a word of introduction. We know it's a concept of a mikveh. A mikveh is a body of water where a person can immerse himself. The din is, a mikveh has to have 40 saw of rainwater, 40 saw of kosher water to be considered a kosher mikveh. If you have mem saw, 40 saw of kosher water, you could put into that mikveh whatever you want, and the mikveh remains kosher. You put in mayim shuvim, non-kosher water, the mikveh remains a kosher water, a mikveh. However, if you don't have yet mem saw, then the halach is, if you put in gimel lugim, mayim shuvim, three lugim of this non-acceptable water, that permanently disqualifies that mikveh. As we will soon see, it's a machloikis if mayim shuvim is posel derais or posel derabon. Ask the Gemara. V'shinu Hashem, she'ena chayz l'briyosoi, mi'a v'shinui, is it true that an irreversible change is considered a shinui? V'ritziner. Let's talk about a pipe. The mikara kitzitzta. We start with a pipe. They used to make pipes out of wood. You start with a piece of wood, and then you turn it into a pipe. Machlokes was showing him what makes a pipe. Does it have to be completely carved out, or only partially carved out? The Tanya. We learned in a braisa. Sina shechakakai. If somebody has a pipe, ulbsoif kavoy, and then he attaches it to the ground, poisel semikvah. And then water flows through that pipe. That water that flows through the pipe is mayim shuvim that will disqualify the mikveh. However, kavoy ulbsoif chakakai, if you first attach the pipe to the ground, the piece of wood, and then you carve it out, ain poisel semikvah. the mikveh doesn't become disqualified, because when you put it on the ground, it was a piece of wood. And even though you had a shinui mais, the Rishonim point out, because you carved it out, that's not called carving the pipe. It's called carving the ground. Ask the Gemara, v'amrit shinui Hashem milsehi, if we're suggesting that when you have a new shame, it's considered a shinui, afilu kavo l'psoif chakakot nami l'psoil, even a situation where it started as a piece of wood attached to the ground. So it's considered part of the ground. And then you carve it out. Why isn't that considered a situation of a shinui Hashem? And it shouldn't be considered part of the ground. It should be considered a pipe. And the water that flows through it should be considered mayim shuvim. Answers the Gemara. Shani shiva. There it's a whole different concept. The midrabonahi. The entire isser is only an isser drabon. Machloikus, we showed him how to understand this Gemara, which has serious halachic ramifications. Some Rishonim explain that the entire concept of Mayim Sheuvim is only Midrabonim. Midraisa Mayim Sheuvim would not disqualify a mikvah. Others say that the Mayim Sheuvim does disqualify a mikvah. But the din that we learned, that if you have Gimel Lugim Mayim Sheuvim, before you put in the Mem Saw that the mikvah is possible, that din is Midrabonim. That means Midraisa, if you have 40 saw of kosher water, then it doesn't make a difference when the three lugim shuvim were put in. It wouldn't disqualify it. But Rabbanan, it becomes possible if they were put in before. Ask the Gemara if we're being lenient here. Because there's a special din. Because this is really all Midrabanan. So why does the Braisa differentiate? If you connected a pipe to the ground, or you collected a block of wood to the ground, Ihachi, I feel the Reish Nami, where you put a pipe to the ground. It's only Mayim Shuvim. Mayim Shuvim is only Drabonin. Why are we not Mekel? Yehochi afil the Reish Nami. And so the Gemara, there's a very simple difference. Hosom, when it was a pipe before we connected to the ground, Iketaris Keli Lov. It got the name that it's a Keli. And since it got that category, so any water that goes through it is Shuvim, and nothing can correct it. Hocho, ain't Taurus Kiliyah Batolish. Here, when it was connected to the ground, it was a block of wood, and therefore, even though afterwards it was carved out into a keli, it won't disqualify the mikvah. Based on this Gemara, the Paiskim say, we know most mikvahs that we have, the actual mikvah where somebody immerses himself, is all Mayim Shuvim. How is the mikvah made kosher? The mikvah is made kosher because right next to that pool where the person enters, there's another pool of kosher water, and we have Ashoka. Ashoka means that there's a hole connecting those two pools. And most places, they don't want the water flowing from one to the next. They have a plug. And opening up that plug is called Ashoka. The question is, are you allowed to do Ashoka on Shabbos? So certainly, the Paiskim say, the Marsham discusses this, Rav Moshe discusses this, if we hold like the Rishonim, that the entire Isser of Mayim Shuvim is only Midrabanan, so certainly you could do a Hashaka on Shabbos. But say the Masham and Ramosh, even if you hold the Mayim Shuvim is the Isser Daraisa, mixing water is not really an Isser on Shabbos, and Hashaka could be done. Furthermore, say the Paiskim discussed this, we know that the only people that are Mechuyiv to go to a Mikvah Midaraisa are women. When they become tohor. A man, even a man that go to a mikveh, it's only a chumrah. Especially as we learned the Gemara Masech, the Bracha says that even though Chazal said about Keri, somebody who had an emission is supposed to go to the mikveh, that the Gemara Masech, the Bracha says the Chazal nullified that Kseira. So say to Paiskim, if the entire going to the mikveh for men is only a chumrah for those men that go, certainly, as Al Gemara just suggested, it could be that mikveh made out of Mayim Shuvim is a kosher mikveh, and a man who's going to the mikveh could go to a mikveh made out of Shuvim. I did see a machloikis between the Satmar Rebbe and the Arugas Abaisim regarding Erev Yom Kippur. With the Arugas Abaisim says that Erev Yom Kippur, when a man goes to the mikveh, there he should be careful that he should go to a mikveh that's 100% kosher, and the Satmar Rebbe was the Evim Mekel for Erev Yom Kippur. I saw a beautiful vart from the Chakal Yitzchak, a drush vart on this Gemara. He says as follows. There's an ongoing debate between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you first treat us and give us what we need, and we will in return act properly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you first act properly, and then I'll give you what you need. Says the Chakli Yitzchak, our Gemara proves that our position is the correct position. What does our Gemara say? That if you had chakakai, means you carved out, a person made himself act proper, he carved himself out properly, ulbsoif kavoi, and then afterwards HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be kaveyos and etzis roll, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us Mashiach, that's not the proper way. What's the proper way? We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kavoi, bring us etzis roll, give us Mashiach, give us what we need. And after we get that, we will carve ourselves out to act appropriately. Says the Gemara. Meisei. So the Gemara continues. We're going to learn later in the Masechta. It says, Haganav Hagazlam Ha'anas, a robber or somebody who forces somebody, Hagdesh and Hagdish for Trumos and Truma. If they take Hagdish, if they Magdish what they received, they took off Truma from what they received, they took off Meisei from what they received, it's all valid. So we see that a shinu is kama. Omri, hasam ikashinu Hashem. There it's not just a shinu, there's a shinu Hashem. The mikara tivla, vashta truma. Hegdish, mikara chulin. At the beginning it was chulin, vashta hegdish. So it could be where you have that significant type of a shinu, everybody will agree that it's valid to make it the ganavs. And it's not just relying on Yish. A number of very important points. One is that the Rishonim point out that even though we're saying that if a Ganef is Magdish, something he got through Ganev, it's valid Hegdish, it means that it has to be treated as Hegdish. But not that, let's say, somebody stole an animal, and then he's Magdish that animal cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Furthermore, the Rishonim ask, Al Gemara earlier on top of the Amid drew a distinction between a reversible change and an irreversible change. So why isn't this considered a reversible change? You always could be shoyel on a hegdish. You could always go to Rav and annul it. So why is this not considered a reversible change? So Taisa says that going to a Rav and reversing hegdish, reversing truma, is lo shchiach, and therefore it's not considered a reversible change. The Rajba gives a different explanation. The Rajba says that when is something considered a reversible change? When I, the Ganef, have the ability to do the change by myself. As I just said a moment ago, the person who made this Hegdish doesn't have the ability to do it of himself. He has to go to Rav, has to go to Bezdin to do it. A change that I can't do myself, that I'm dependent on others to effect, is not considered, says the Rajba, a reversible change. Another point that the Menchus Yitzchak makes, interesting tshuva he has, he says, let's say somebody earns money illegally. And he asks the person, the question is, does the person, we all have an obligation to give miser from whatever we earn, does the person have to give miser for money that he earned illegally? He says, Al Gemara says that even if you earn it illegally, Hagdesh and Hagdish, or Meiser, Meiser. And you certainly, he says, have to give Meiser for money that's earned illegally. You shouldn't earn money illegally, but that's the Shaila. Amar Chizda, Amar Yonasan. Menayin l'shini shukaina. How do we know that shinu is effective? Shinema v'heishiv es egzela. So that should be enough. Mat hamaloyma ashagazel. Why does the Torah have to add the words ashagazel? To teach us. Im shein shagazel, if it's in the same as it was when I stole it, yachs, and then I have to return the actual item. Lav, dam ba'alma ba'ishlim, it's enough that I just give back the value. Ask the Gemara, ha'yish gozal miboylei lemutik gozal aviv. We learned that if somebody steals, and he denies falsely that he stole, and then he admits he has to return the keren and a chaymish, we're learning here that somebody's father stole. And then the father admitted that he did the wrong thing. She'ena ma'isav chaymish, that the son doesn't have to add the chaymish, so we need that pasuk for that purpose. Answers the Gemara. If that was the entire point of that pasuk, im kein nichtav rachmana veheishiv es gezeiloi asher gozel, the one is responsible for the chaimish only for his own gezeila. Lomli asher gozel, lomli lemichtav. What does the Torah have to add the words asher gozel? Shmam natati both dinim. One is that you don't add a fifth for your father's gezeila, and another din is that if there was a shinui, it becomes the ganavs. Vikadami, but a different version. Amr b'chizam Rabbi Yonason. Menayin l'shinui she'ena koina. How do we know that shinui is not effective? Shenem v'heshev is a gzela mikom makom. You always have to return the actual item that you stole. Ask the Gemara for k'siv asher gozel, those superfluous words. And the Gemara, homi beiloi, we need those words to teach us. A gzela sheloi ma'isav chaymish. You only had a chaymish for your own gzela. Ve'y ma'isav chaymish al gezel afif. Amr ula. Menayin l'yui she'ena koina. How do we know we're having a debate if Yush makes it the ganavs or not? How do we know that it's not effective? Shnei ve'veisim gozel as a peseich v'sachoyla. Gozel dumi de peseich. The Torah compares, the pasuk is giving musr. The Navi Malachi is giving klai so a musr that the animals that they brought at Kabonis were the sick animals. And the Gemara says the pasuk compares gozel to peseich. Met peseich the less like the kant the klal. An animal that's slain cannot be cured. Af gozel the rest like the kanta. Something that's stolen, you can never bring as a carbon. Loi shna lifnei yish, v'loi shna ach yish, yish doesn't make a difference. Rav Oma, mehocha. Kabonoi, v'loi ha-gozel. The pasuk says kabonoi, and not animal that was stolen. So now the question is, that means somebody stole an animal, we had this gemara already yesterday, somebody stole an animal, and he wants to bring as a carbon. So the question is when? Amos. Ilam lifnei yish, that somebody stole an animal from someone else, and he wants to bring that animal as a carbon, and the pasuk is telling us that he can't. Pshita. Obviously. Lamali krut. It's not his animal. So certainly you can't bring as a carbon something that's not yours. Elav. The pasuk must be speaking about l'achi yush. Vishmamina. And the pasuk is teaching us, yush, like kani, that yush is not effective. Shmamina. So the way that we shine him, explain the Gemara is as follows. Actually, we have here, this is why Tosfos explains the Gemara. Actually, we have here really a yush and a shinui Hashem. Number one, there's a yush that the owners were miyash. And number two, it's no longer a regular animal, it's carbon. So if yush were effective, so we have the yush making it into the ganavs, and then with the shinui Hashem, it would be a good carbon. But since yush is ineffective, so you only have here Shinui Hashem, and Shinui Hashem is not good enough. Shmamina. Ask the Gemara, V'Rava Huda Amad Gozel Karbon Chavre. Yesterday we explained this pasuk, that Rava wasn't referring to a situation where a person stole an animal, but Rava said the pasuk is referring that somebody stole somebody else's carbon, and the pasuk is teaching us that even though the animal was already designated as a carbon, you can't bring it as a carbon for yourself. So it has nothing to do with stealing an animal and being magdashit. Answers the Gemara, Ibayisei Mahadabay. One terrorist the Gemara suggests is Rava retracted for that pshat. Ibayisei Mechad Binay Rapapa Amra. And as Rishonim explained, Rapapa was a Talmud of Rava. So many times when they heard Rapapa say something, they would assume that who did Rapapa hear it from? His Rebbe Rava. But it really wasn't that way all the time. And this is such a circumstance where Rapapa said it. They saw one thing Rapapa said, one thing Rava said. They made a mistake that Rava said this, but it wasn't Rava, it was Rapapa. Says the Gemara, on Midas Tashlumei Abav Chamisha, we learned that Abav Chamisha are only paid by Shavaseh. Ask the Gemara, Vamai, Nail of Shah Shah Mishabas. Why don't we learn Gzer Shavah from Shabbos, where we learned earlier the Torah says Shor, but we say all animals you're not allowed to do with Melach with in Shabbos. So Malahalan, just like by Shabbos, even though the Torah just speaks about certain animals, the Gzer Shavah teaches us all animals, Chayv Oif Kiyotzben, you're not allowed to work with on Shabbos, Afkan Chayv Oif Kiyotzben, and it should be limited, and we should say that by all animals, you have to pay Dal V'Hei, not just Shor V'Seh. So Rishayim ask, we've learned many times there's a rule that ein adam don gzer shavim atzmai. A person can't make up his own gzer shava. So ask Rishayim, how could the Gemara ask that we should make up our own gzer shava? From Shabbos, now I'll make up our own gzer shavas. So Rishonim say a beautiful teretz. Why does it mean that you're not allowed to create a gzeirah shava? That we should be sitting here and say, this pasuk has this word, this pasuk has this word, and we want to create a gzeirah shava, we have no right to do that. However, in a situation where we already see that the Gemara uses a gzeirah shava, the gzeirah shava between Shabbos and other circumstances is well established. We already learned it ourselves. Now we just want to expand that the gzeirah shava should be related to this case also. That's not considered making up your own gzeirah shava. But then the Pnei Yeshua asks another question. We all learned the Chumash, we're going to learn the Gemara, that the Gemara asks, why by a shor do you pay five times the value by tficha mechira, and by seh you only pay four times the value? And the Gemara says, because by a shor, when somebody stole a shor from somebody else, he did greater damage, because the person works with a shor, and by taking away the shor from somebody, you really hurt him, that he doesn't have his animal to work with. Seh is not an animal that was used for working, and therefore the damage done isn't so significant, and you only have to pay dalad four times. So now, ask the Pnei Yeshua, according to the Gemara's Havamina, that we want to say that this din of dalad v'hei is not only going to be by shor v'seh, but it's going to be by all animals. So to what will we compare all animals? Will we compare them to a shor? Will we compare them to a seh? Says the Pnei Yeshua, posh the teretz. We're going to have to, according to the Gemara and the Havamina, we're going to have to look at every animal and see what is it more similar to. If it's more similar to a shor, it'll have the din of a shor. If it's more similar to a seh, it'll have the din of a seh. So now that's the Gemara's question. Why do we learn all animals from shor v'seh? Amar Rav, Amar Kra, shor v'seh shnei pamim. The Torah uses the word shor v'seh twice. Shor v'seh in, midachrina loy. Only the shor v'seh has the din of dal v'hei, no other animal. Ask the Tosfos Rid. We have a very interesting thing going on in this perek, says the Tosfos Rid. At the beginning of the perek, we spent a lot of time on this, when the Gemara was working with the psukim that says, shor, chamor, seh, what did the Gemara say? That these animals that the pasuk mentions are models that it shouldn't only be a shor, but anything similar to a shor. It's not only a chamor, anything similar to a chamor. Not only a seh, but anything similar to a seh. So there when the Torah mentioned animals, they weren't looked at to say only these animals, to the exclusion of all other animals. On the contrary, they were viewed as a model for other situations. And Al Gemara is saying just the opposite. Al Gemara is saying that since the Torah uses the word shor v'seh, and only shor v'seh, no other animal. So how do we reconcile the two Gemaras in our very same parak? Answer the Tosfos Rid very beautifully. He says, if the pasuk mentions a type of animal only once, so the Derech HaTorah is, the Torah mentions this animal, but it's not only this animal. It serves as a source, as a model for other situations. Here the Torah uses the same, speaks about an animal, and speaks about the exact same animal twice. If the Torah wanted to say that this is a model for other animals, so the Torah should have not said the same animal twice, it must be that the Torah means to say, only shor v'seh, nothing else. But now the Gemara analyzes. Amri. Hamiyata. The Gemara is suggesting that the shor v'seh are redundant. The teacher says only shor v'seh, nothing else. Which shor v'seh are redundant? Ilema shor v'seh, the sefer miyata, where the Torah uses the word shor v'seh at the end of the pasuk, it's superfluous. The nechta v'chmona, because it would have been enough for the Torah said, ki yignev shor v'seh, v'tofcha y'machroi, chamisha baki yishalam tachtof, v'abe b'tzoyin tachtof. You don't have to write the word shor v'seh. So the Gemara, that can't be. Because ikos rachmana hachi, if that's what the Torah would have said, havamina, we would explain the pasuk to say, boy shlumi tishlucha v'chad v'chad. The Torah is meaning to teach us that it's not five or four, it's five plus four. So the Gemara, how could we make such a mistake? V'kitei m'haksiv tachtov. The Torah uses tachtov, means only once. So tachtov, chat tachtov miyata, says the Gemara. So one tachtov we've reconciled to separate the five from the four. What about the other tachtov? So the Gemara, I need the other tachtov also. Ha'ulah b'ayle l'drosh achrina. The Tanya, yochel ganav shor shavim mona. Let's say somebody stole an animal worth $100. Yisham tachtov negidim. When he replaces the shor, he could give. He stole a healthy animal. He could return a weak animal. Tamalayma tachtav. There has to be tachtav. Equal, similar to the animal you stole. Says the Gemara. El shavasa the reishim yuter. The shavasa at the beginning of the pasuk is superfluous. The nechta rachmana, it would have been enough that the Torah should write, ki yignav ish v'tvachoy or machroy, chamisha baki yishan tachas ashar, v'abar tzoyin tachas aser. Why did the Torah have to write shavasa at the beginning of the pasuk? It's extra to teach us only shavasa is the dal v'hei, nowhere else. Ask the Gemara, that's not true. Because ikas rachmana hachi, if that's what the Torah would have written, havamina, I would perhaps think, add the gun of tray, he has to steal both a shor and a seh, the tavach lehu, and then shech the shor and seh. Then and only then do you have the chiv of dal vehei. So the Gemara, you can't make that mistake. The tavach ksev lechad, the Torah says, the tavachoy, a loshin yachid, that's enough to only shech one animal. Veima, says the Gemara, still I would make the mistake, add the gun of tray, I have to steal two animals, umazmelu, and I have to sell both of them. Says the Gemara, that mistake you can't make either. Because a machor ksiv, lechad, machor is loshin yachid, that's enough to sell any one. Veiva, says the Gemara, still, havamina, if I would have the pasik without the shor v'seh at the beginning, I would think that the din is, add the gun of tray, you have to steal both the shor and a seh, the tavachad, and shecht one, or mazmin chad, and sell one. But if you didn't do all of that, steal both, and shecht one, and sell one, you're not going to be chayv dal vehei. So I would never make that mistake, because the Torah says, oi machrik siv. The Torah says, oi, or, that you don't have to do both. So the Torah says, havamina, add the governor of tavayu, I would say you're not chayv until you stole both, the tavachad, or mishayr chad, that you shechted one, and the other one you taken didn't do anything, or mazmin chad, or you sold one, or mashayach chad. But how do you know that you chayiv dalar or hay if you just shecht, or if you just steal, and then shecht or sell a shor, or if you just steal a seh, and you shecht it or sell it? That's why we need the entire pasuk. So where is the extra words here? Says the Gemara, El shor the sefer, the Sarah de Reish Miata. The word shah that the pasuk uses at the beginning of the pasuk, and the word said that's at the word shah that's used at the end of the pasuk, and said at the beginning of the purpose are extra. The nicht of Rachmana, it would be adequate that the Torah should say, Jignav ishar, v'tafchai u'machroi, chamisha bakit shan tachtav, v'abit soin tachas aseh. And everything that we're trying to prove, that either you shut, that you sell, you steal a shor or seh, and you shecht or sell either one, you chayv dal v'hei, is enough. Shor the sefer the reish lamali, why did the Torah have to add those words? Shema mina, the extra to teach us, shor v'seh in midachrin aloi. We learned in the Mishnah, en agonav ach aganav, that if somebody steals from a ganav, even though as we learned, we discussed at great length, you have to pay kefil. Hagoynef and Aganef doesn't have to pay kefil. Ein Hagoynef ach Aganef mishantash from a kefil. Amar Rav, lo shana elef ne yish. Says Rav again, this din is only before it was yish. Avel ach yish. Let's say Ruvein stole something, konoi ganef rishon, and then the owner is miyash, it becomes Ruvein's, and now if Shimon steals from Ruvein, so he's stealing from a real owner, and therefore the Ganav Shalim Meshalim Teshalume Kanev for the Ganav Rishon. Which, in other words, Rav is saying that if there's Yush, it becomes the full-fledged property of the Ganav. Amar Rav Sheshes, says Rav Sheshes, Amina, as we've been saying many times, Kinaim Veshoch of Rav Amal HaShmatza. Rav must have been half asleep when he said this. The Tanya, Amar Rav Akiva, Neima Amar Torah, Tavach Umach Misham Teshlumi Abav Chamisha. The Torah says, as we just learned, that if somebody stole a Shav Aseh, and he does Tficha Mechira, he has to pay Dal Vehei, Neshishtarish Bechet. Neshishtarish Bechet means that he did an Aveira, and he accomplished with the Aveira. Neshishtarish means that the Aveira took root. And as the Mepharshim point out, before we go further, what does Rav say? Rav is saying that Yirush is Koina. Actually, the previous year, we had Rava also of the opinion that Yirush is Koina. So Mefarshim asked, the question that the Gemara is asking now, on Rav's opinion that Yirush is Koina, why don't the Gemara ask these questions on Rabba, who also holds Yirush is Koina? So I saw three terutzim to this question. We'll go from the easiest to the hardest. The easiest terutz is that, you know, the Gemara is a repetition of the dialogue that took place in the yeshiva. And what the Gemara means to say is, actually, this question could have been posed to Rabba. But in the yeshiva, this question was posed to Rabba, and this question was posed to Rav. And when the Gemara puts it down, the Gemara writes it as it actually occurred. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that Rav speaks about a situation of Geneva. Rav speaks about a situation of Gzela. So when we ask, so there is no difference in halacha between Rav and Rabba. They just spoke, they just chose to say their opinion in those situations. So when the questions are asked, we ask the question from Bryces that speak to the same cases that they spoke. But then the Nesivus says, Olam d'Shetaretz. And we touched upon this yesterday. The machlokes between Rav and Rabba, we are used to understanding, Pasha Pshat, the Rav and Rabba concur. They both hold Yirush is Koina. But the truth is, there can be a difference in Pshat. What, yesterday we explained, according to Rabba, that Yirush and Hefker are not one and the same. There's Yirush and there's Hefker. That's Rabba's opinion. Rav, on the other hand, holds that Yirush is a form of Hefker. What would be the Nafgamina, says the Nesivus? Let's say somebody stole something. And I stole something, and the item I stole from you is now in the Rishus Rabbim, and now you're Miyash. Do I become the automatic owner of it or not? If it goes through with a lomdus of Hefker, perhaps I become the owner. If it goes through the lomdus of Yish, perhaps not. So we see, so now let's discuss the case. Amos, when exactly did this kind of sell or shech this animal? Ilay melifnei Yish, that he did it before the owner was Miyash, Mika Nishtarish. Nishtarish means that I accomplished something. I didn't accomplish something. It's not mine. El lach Yish. It must be lach Yish. Now, Visakadatich says the Gemara. Yish is Koina. Amai Mishalim Tashlumi Abba V'chamisha. Why would I be Chayiv Dal V'chamisha? That I took your thing, and not only did I steal it, but I even shechted it. I even sold it. But if we're saying that Yish accomplishes, that it becomes mine, me the ganef, so I'm not selling your thing, I'm selling my thing. Shaloy tovech, shaloy moicher. So it must be that if it's talking after Yish, it's a ride that it's not mine. And it's a question of Rav. Amrikar Amarava. The way to understand the shtash bechet is not because it is mine or isn't mine. The point of Rav is shashon bechet. It really is before Yish. If you'll ask if it's before Yish, I didn't do anything new. I already stole your item. So why am I chayiv? We're going to learn tomorrow's shiur. The Rav teaches us the concept of shana b'chait. Hachanam shana b'chait. Which means as follows. This is the way the Me'iri explains the Gemara. When a person is punished for an avera, it's not just a punishment that we're giving him. You did an avera, you deserve a punishment. There's a perspective that we have to view. We have to look, what is this person? So it's not when a person steals, he already did an avera. But if the person is so bad, I hate to use the word bad, but if the person is so bad that not only did he steal, but he has the chutzpah of going and slaughtering or selling it, the shor said that he stole. So even though he didn't take something again, because it's not his, it's still not his, it's lifnei yish, but his act represents a terrible attitude and a terrible disrespect to the item that he doesn't own. And that's why he deserves another punishment. If you could go a little deeper, we said this earlier in the parak, we quoted the Birkei Shmuel, we quoted other achroinim that say, the chiv of Geneva is not just Geneva. The chiv of Geneva, Chazal, the Torah look at it as a mazik. So stealing is one level of hezek. And now going and doing tficha mechira is a whole new level of hezek. And because he violated and did this new level of hezek, he deserves a greater punishment of dal vehe.
Huh?
Why is
Kabul Sefer? It's way too serious.